Welcome back to the Voice of the Private Sector and the second hour of Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing.
And we're back for hour number two here across Puget Sound. I'm Brian Bushlack. Glad you could join us here on the Voice of the Private Sector. Let's get right to our interview with our economic insider, Patrick Stone. It's been 5 years since the financial crisis. Hard to believe it's been that long, and yet it seems like it was just yesterday. I talked to Pat recently about the crisis and the local housing market. Well, Pat, it's been 5 years since the financial meltdown, and for those of you scoring at home, 5 years, 9 months since we officially entered the Great Recession. But as I always point out to people, Pat, I know you're aware of this, it was officially 6 years and 1 month ago since those of us in finance and lending experienced that first shockwave in August of 2007. And no matter how or when you define it, this was obviously the worst recession since the Great Depression. You've been telling us time and time again on this show that this would be a brutally slow recovery, and it has been. I got to ask you, though, at this point, are we where you thought we'd be at this point in the recovery?
Well, you know, Brian, honestly, we're probably a little bit behind where we thought I thought we would be, and that is in large part to the fact that the government has been taken off the table. We've actually had a decline in government spending exacerbated by a certain amount by sequester, which I don't think anybody with a rational mind actually thought that would happen given where the economy was. And now we're looking at another fiscal cliff debate. So, you know, if you look at the economy, and we've talked about it before, you basically GDP is measured by consumption plus investment plus the difference between exports, less imports, and government spending. Well, you know, we've had a reasonable rebound in consumer consumption, in part because consumers have been able to refi their loans. They've lowered their debt service to a level consistent with where the early 90s was, albeit they're still leveraged highly. The debt service has gone down, so consumption has picked up. Investment has started to return in the form of residential construction, and you're starting to see some meaningful numbers in investment, albeit a little slower than maybe some people thought. Exports less imports, of course, is a negative number, but probably not, probably a relative improvement over where it was. The big factor that I think nobody expected was to see government spending decline as much as it has. If we had what was traditionally or what we've experienced in the past in terms of government spending on a recovery, we'd be seeing 3+ percent GDP growth. Now, a lot of people will say, oh, yeah, but government spending's up. It's not. It's actually we've had a decline in government spending, and with sequester, that's been exacerbated. So I think we're behind where we should be. It's going to take a little bit longer.
You know, it leads us to our next question where, you know, so many of the so-called experts out there are still questioning the bailouts. And I believe, and I want to get your read on this, that history will view Hank Paulson, Ben Bernanke, the bailouts, the injection of government money as a good thing, and these gentlemen as heroes for what they did. How do you feel?
Oh, absolutely, Brian. It's absolutely insane to say that the bailouts were a bad idea. We would have driven off the cliff. Essentially the financial system locked up. And if it hadn't been for the bailouts, we would have had a massive depression, probably exceeding what we saw in the early 30s. So bless them for the bailout. Now, I'm going to tell you, Brian, and I think your listeners should know this, I have felt I paid too much taxes for a lot of years. I have felt that we've spent money foolishly for a lot of years. But I got to tell you, God bless the bailouts, because without them, we would have been in a lot of trouble.
I agree with you. Pat Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us here this afternoon and this evening on Business Briefing. And Pat, I've got to ask you, you've been around the block a couple times and went through that crisis and saw it firsthand. What is your most vivid memory of that period? What defines it for you?
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier that it's actually 6 years and a month since the lockup. And I was sitting in the boardroom of a private equity company on the day that the repo market locked up the first time. And I actually saw some people literally move to tears and panic because they had bet significant fortunes on the transactions that were basically torpedoed by the lockup in the repo market. And the impact on them and on the financial market was profound, albeit it wasn't really understood by the public at large for probably another year after that.
That is interesting. It was August of 2007 when those of us on the inside first saw this in what you're referring to as the repo market. In the mortgage market, obviously the title market, real estate, very impacted initially by the loss of Alt-A product, some of the option ARM product that was out there and very prevalent at the time. And if you backtrack even further, Pat, I know you'll remember this. I mean, we saw a local subprime lender, Meritage, go out the previous October, and it was on this show in the spring of 2007 when I warned our audience, and no way I could know the depth of this, but my concern at the time was the fact that so many of these subprime loans had been issued to first-time home buyers rather than the government product. That was my warning then, was that you take the first-time home buyers out of the market and those housing formations that were headed down a bad path at that time. I don't think anybody, no matter how long you've been in the business, realized how bad it was, though.
No, I would agree with that, Brian. It was hard to fathom how the whole thing could unwind like it did. And one of the problems with having an economy built heavily on what I call tiered credit is that if you have a lockup somewhere in the process, the house of cards crumbles. And you heard me say before that at the time the bubble burst, we had about $52 trillion in credit market debt in this country. And much of that was structured in multiple tiers. And you have the credit default swaps, and you have the repo market, and you have everything else. And when the repo market locked up, the whole house of cards started to tremble. And I don't think anybody fully realized what the collapse would entail. And getting back to your earlier question about the bailout, had we not had the bailout, I think the financial system might have collapsed.
Patrick Stone, President and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us on his way back to Portland this weekend. And Pat, I got to ask you to close out our first segment. We'll talk more with you in our upcoming segment. Some would argue, and still to this day, that we haven't learned anything from the experience of this financial crisis. Do you think we have, or will we see history repeat itself again?
Well, you know my answer to that, Brian. We're going to see history repeat itself again because history has repeated itself dozens of times, since the modern economy started in the late 1500s, early 1600s. But one aspect of the financial market hasn't changed at all, and that's what I call the repo market. And so that your listeners understand what I'm talking about, almost all security firms or financial firms depend on the repo market in order to have liquidity. And this is what happened to Bear Stearns and Lehman. They had a lot of financing coming through the repo market. This is an overnight wholesale funding market, basically and for the most part funded by money funds. And it amounts to about $5 trillion right now. So both Bear and Lehman were financing their operations by pledging securities and overnight debt to the repo market. Now, what happens in the repo market is that there is sort of a tacit understanding that if you don't really screw up, you can renew your debt day after day after day. It's basically overnight debt, but it renews almost automatically. What happened with Bear and Lehman is that they lost faith in the ability of Bear and Lehman because of their problems, and they got cut off from the repo market. They got a cut off of many financing, and they were basically cratered because of that. We have a $5 trillion repo market right now with no regulatory no meaningful regulatory oversight. So this could happen again. We could have somebody drive the car off the cliff and the thing could lock up. It still presents a real and meaningful danger to our financial system. It could lock up overnight. That hasn't changed. So people say, oh, yeah, things are a lot better. Yeah, perhaps they are. I think the average individual is more debt conscious. I think the average corporation certainly has improved their balance sheet. But the underlying fundamental drivers of our economy, the ability to get massive credit on an overnight basis, still is a loose cannon.
Well, it's not a question of if, I guess, but when. Pat Stone, the president and CEO of Williston Financial and WFG National Title. Pat, stay with us during the break here. When we come back, we'll talk to Pat about 30-year mortgage rates and can the housing market sustain itself and help us continue this economic recovery. That's up next as Business Briefing continues.